Susie, are we ready to proceed? On House Bill 5036, Public Utility Commission, and I apologize for my absence from the committee. I have a copy of Senator Yee's testimony. I appreciate Representative Patridge's assistance. Suki Huerta is our clerk for today, and Suma Glashen represents Legislative Fiscal Office for the record. Having finished the issues relative to 3615 and the Residential Service Protection Fund programs, we had asked for some travel information. A series of a number of questions relative to travel, dues for organizations that Public Utility Commission and commissioners belong to, meetings attend, particularly those that are out of state. And the reason that I was sensitive to that was relative, and I'm sure that Commissioner Ickes brought this up in his testimony while I was out of the room, but the penultimate paragraph of the task force indicated that we also recommend the commissioners play a more visible role and the contested cases and attending hearings. So in that process, that was part of the reason why I'd asked for the time that was the staff was away, and particularly the commissioners were away and out of state attending meetings. And so we have some information from Ms. Gates. Sarah?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Sarah Gates, Budget Management, would you like me to walk through what the various...
What the schedules are that we've been provided today, please?
You should have a handout that is entitled the Public Utility Commission Travel and Membership. It's a letter to Representative Butler. And there were three questions that were asked of us to provide information. One was the national and regional organizations, and what is the dues for these organizations, and then how much time is spent by staff attending and traveling to meetings, and how much does that cost, and then how often do three commissioners attend meetings, especially those out of state. If you'll turn to the first page after the letter, that shows a list of organizations that the PC belongs to, and those are...
Excuse me, what's the date of the letter?
February 28th, 2001.
The one that I gave to you yesterday.
Oh, you gave it to me
yesterday. Very good. And if you need another copy, we'll make one for you.
Senator, can you share with the yes. for the present time until Ms. McGlashy?
Yes.
I'll share with
Oh. And he can share for the time being. Please.
All right. If you turn to the first page after the letter, that there's a chart that says PC membership for the 9901 biennium. What that table is showing you is the annual dues for the first year of the biennium for these organizations. There was some supplemental information that was provided to the Legislative Fiscal Office, which is just a piece of paper that looks very similar, and I believe that Sue will pass it out if she hasn't already, that shows the second year of the biennium. So you would add those two together to get to the total.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative Ringo is recognized.
Thank you. Wow. Just to clarify, those are dues for membership by the PUC, not by the commissioners. The PUC is the member.
Mr. Chair, members, or Representative Ringo, members of the committee, I could not answer that question. I would ask that either Cherikas or Rick Willis answer that question.
I think it's somebody. I'm not sure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringo, in fact, some of them are PUC, the agency, and some of them are broken down membership to individuals, commissioners, and staff. And I can provide you a list of that at a later time. I don't have that right off the top of my head, but it depends on the organization.
But the Institute, I think as an example, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe the Institute of Electrical and Electronics or the Institute of Internal Auditors are are cases of where it's not the commission membership, it's staff membership.
Okay, so I guess my question is that, let's say the Institute of Electrical Electronics, $334, is that the total membership dues paid for total, or is that the dues for each commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringo, that's total.
Okay.
That's a total. If there's 10 members, it's $34.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Representative Passage is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can we just, I mean, these other ones are kind of typical little dues things. I think, you know, the big one is the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissions. Can you talk about that? Talk about if it's membership in total. Talk about how those dues are arrived at and what those dues are used for.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let me first tell you what the National Association of Regulatory Utilities Commissioners is. It's an organization of utility commissioners throughout the states, United States. It's our it's a national association of regulatory commissions. It is over 100 years old. All of the states belong to it. Its primary objectives are, one, are educational and informational, to provide an opportunity for commissioners to get together and to share experiences. And gain knowledge of what's going on in the industries that they regulate and in the individual states and their experiences. Their other objective is, frankly, as they take positions and they lobby. They lobby the FCC, they lobby the FERC, they lobby Congress, so they take positions on behalf of the National Association to try and influence national policy. They meet three times a year, a winter meeting in Washington, D.C., a summer meeting, which is usually on the West Coast, and an annual business meeting, which is more of a conference with panels and educational sessions. The winter and summer meetings tend to be focused on committees that the association has. Oregon has been involved heavily in the association. We have, I think, provided some leadership for the association. Commissioner Smith is currently chair of the Telecommunications Committee, which is one of the most important committees in NARUC, and is heavily involved in national policy issues at the FCC and in Congress, as well as some of the court issues. I previously chaired what was then the Energy Conservation Committee. It's now the Energy Resources and Environment Committee. I also chaired previously the International Relations Committee of NARUC. Commissioner Hamilton is currently chair of the Energy Resources and Environment Subcommittee on Renewable Resources. All of those issues of which we're involved in are critical issues for the state of Oregon. And we have, I think, not only influenced NARUC, but helped influence national policy through that participation. And time to time, we have staff support in the association. The dues are established. The dues go to two particular purposes. One is dues to the National Association. The other is an assessment that goes to the National Regulatory Research Institute, which is based at Ohio State University. And it is a research institute that does academic research, I guess, basic and applied research, I guess, on current regulatory issues before commissions in all of the industries that we regulate, from electricity, natural gas, telecommunications, to water. They provide research papers in four commissions throughout the country. The rest are dues to the association. I think the
Representative Ringel's recognized.
Just to interject, does that association receive funding or support from the utility industry?
Mr. Chairman, no. Only through conferences at which the meetings which I discussed, the winter and summer, and the national meetings in November, are conferences at which people pay registration fees. So to the extent a utility or a consultant or somebody not associated with the commission pays registration fees, it does make money off of meetings, but it is not funded in any other way by utilities.
So your testimony of Mr. Ekus that in attending these meetings that are put on by the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commission, you not only have a travel expense, you also have the dues or the fees for the meeting itself that you'd have to pay to attend the meeting?
Mr. Chairman, yes, there are registration fees for commissions at these meetings. They are less than are charged others, but yes, There are registration fees.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Pastrana, you're recognized.
Mayor, I was wondering how the dues are calculated.
Yeah,
the basis upon which the dues are calculated and what the split then is. You talked about the National Institute and then the regular fund.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was Representative Patrick, I was about to get to that when I asked the question. The dues are set by the association based upon population. So Oregon pays less dues than California does, for example. Annual dues for the Regulatory Research Institute are approximately $29,000. The dues for NARUC itself and the association is approximately, for Oregon, about close to $9,000, $8,600 a year.
And what was the breakdown of the two different kinds of dues, $29,000, $8,600?
Well, actually, $28,725, Mr. Chairman, goes to the National Regulatory Research Institute. $8,663 goes to the association dues itself.
Mr. Chairman, if I may clarify one point that Commissioner Ekus spoke to, and that is the way the dues are calculated. The base in the past was the population. They currently use CPI. And that is, it takes CPI for the states. They calculate that on December 31st, and they use a mathematical formula to apply that to the previous dues to see if they should be raised or not. In fact, the dues for the PUC, I don't think, have raised for the last 10 years. I think they went up slightly for this coming year. In fact, have stayed about flat for the last 10 years.
Let me just see if my math is correct. If I take $28,729 and $8,000 and change, that would come up about $36,000 in 1 year. The PUC membership for 99 year shows for the NARUC would be $33,164.50 is the reported amount. The cheapest amount that I figured it could be would be about
$36,000,
$37,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me try to.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if I could, on the supplemental handout that Ms. McGlashan passed out, you have a figure of $37,388. That was for last year. On the original document, you have $33,164.50. That is the NRI dues and half of the NARUC dues. That's 6 months' worth. That's why that figure is lower.
Okay, so there's only 6 months of one of the sets of dues here, then, plus all of the NARU dues.
Correct. Okay. Those are the dues that we have paid to date.
And what could you give me that breakdown, please, just for those?
To answer, for this year, NRI dues are $28,000.
No, for the first year, that we'd only paid the half a year, the $33,164.50.
Okay, that's for the second year. The 6 months is $4,439.50.
And break that out, that separate $4,000-plus amount was for the which organization?
For the NARUC organization.
NARU.
NARUC.
Okay. And
the 6 months is $44,39.50.
What happened to the second 6 months of the dues in this first biennium, or first year of the biennium? Is that?
Mr. Chair, if I could clarify something. Chair Gates, once again. I think I misspoke when I walked you through these two pages.
Okay.
I believe that the one that was in my original handout was for the first year. It appears now that that is really the current fiscal year, and that the supplemental, the amount at least for the NARUC is the first year. So it has the $28,000 plus
okay.
that goes to the research.
A full year's
the
worth
full
of dues.
$80,000.
And, Mr. Chair, if I may clarify even further, or maybe muddy it even further, part of the problem was that during this last year, NARUC, the N-A-R-U-C, went from a calendar year to a fiscal year, and that's part of what's confusing it as well.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just was trying to total those two together and find out where that was, and that further explains it. If I could, then from that, I guess it must be the... Anyway, it's the one, Sarah, that you had the $45,388.50 on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the second year or is that first year? That would be the first year?
It appears that, Mr. Chair, appears that that is the first year of this biennium.
First year. Mm-hmm. And in that, there's a state bar of $5,704. Is the commission, the Public Utility Commission, a member of the state bar?
Chairman, I believe that is for membership for our staff.
Is that every 2 years that the bar dues are collected? Is that the 2 years or annually?
Wow. Mr. Chairman, subject to check. Not sure.
Okay. I guess the question I have in that regard, when we had your attorneys here, they told us they work for the Department of Justice.
Mr. Chairman, these are for our administrative law judges.
These are for the administrative law judges. How many is that? How many are there?
Six. Mr. Chair, six.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Chair, let's just end that point. I can't remember what bar dues are. I think they're about $300 or $400. Six times that, you don't come close to $5,700.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringel, we'll have to get back to you.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
We'll check on that for you.
Okay. So, coming back to what I guess would be the second year of the biennium, the American Leadership Forum. Is that something that you must send staff to and get a reduced fee for sending staff to for staff training, and that's when we get the staff training and travel and so forth. That must be something that they attend, American Leadership Forum. They must have courses there for the benefit of their abilities and their jobs, I guess. I'm not sure I know who American Leadership Forum is, other than I had one person that saw this that said that they had been invited to participate in their business, and they didn't have enough business meat in their forums that they were willing to join it. Is that, do you know right off the bat whether or not American Leadership Forum is for your staff, or who takes an active part in the role?
Mr. Chair, it is for staff. No, I don't know the names of staff off the top of my head who attend that.
But they are participating in the courses that are offered?
I believe some are.
Representative Johnson's recognized?
They've answered the question. I just know a little bit about ALF. It's a networking organization. I was just going to offer that.
Thank you very much, Representative Johnson. Representative Smith is recognized.
I can see the need for belonging to certain organizations, and I can also see the need to hire someone to represent your interests in Washington, D.C. The one question I have is, do any of these organizations that you're members of, do they contribute to candidates?
Mr. Chairman, to my knowledge, they do not, but... I actually couldn't say for sure. I don't know about the Northwest Public Power Association or the Association of Water Utilities. If they did, I would assume it would be out of separate funds.
Representative Smith?
Specifically, I gave a recommendation if the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissions.
Oh, Mr. Chairman. No, we do not.
Thank you.
Okay. And in that process, the association, the NAR, UC does, in fact, lobby for national policy and lobby on national bills, state bills. Do they lobby state?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, no, they do not. It is really basically a states' rights organization, but So they do not instruct states as to what to do. The organization itself does take positions on recommending certain actions, and it takes positions on what it recommends that the FCC, FERC, or the Department of Energy or Congress should do. I mean, currently, obviously, there is major legislation on related to energy. Last Congress, there was major legislation related to restructuring. The National Association took positions, made recommendations, has lobbyists representing the National Association before Congress. During the Telecommunications Act, a federal debate in 1996, the association was very active in trying to inform Congress of different implications of policy decisions and of state regulatory role. So, yes, they do take positions, they make recommendations, and they have lobbyists representing the association. The votes in the association are taken generally by an executive committee, of which currently I've been a member of the executive committee for quite some time. Currently, Commissioner Smith is chair of telecommunications, is also a member of the, it's not called the executive committee anymore, it's actually the board of directors. The board of directors, which is comprised of about 25 to 30 states at this point.
So of the utility commissioners nationwide, there's about 25 or 30 members on the board of 25 or 30 states.
Mr. Chairman, all state utility commissions are members of the association.
Members of the board?
Are members of the association. The association has committees, a number of committees, of which every state is allowed to have at least one member on those committees. Those committees take positions, discuss issues, take positions, pass resolutions. The resolutions are then voted on by the board of directors, which contains about 25 to 30 states. I'd have to look at the list to tell you exactly how many.
In all of this, I want to make absolutely certain that you attest, Chair Ekus, that of the $81,000+ in dues, that in that $81,000 in dues, that in fact everything that we're paying these dues for, the consumers are beneficiaries. Is that the consumers of public utility in the state of Oregon are the beneficiaries?
Mr. Chairman, I think in the broad sense, yes, they are. Perhaps I'll give you an idea of what the schedule for the winter meetings was like and some of the committee meetings. The Energy Resources and the Environment Committee, for example, which Commissioner Hamilton is on and which I used to chair, conducted a number of workshops and sessions, one of which was on energy supply, one of which was on demand response, one of which was on environmental protection and sustainability, another was on a competitive marketplace. And these also included stakeholder meetings in which major players in the industry were involved. The objective here was to develop some strategic policy statements and eventually lay the groundwork for any positions that the association might take in relation to Congress or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The Committee on Electricity, some of the activities which they had included a major session on the federal role in public purposes or public benefits. It's sort of what's the federal counterpart to the 3% public purposes charge that we have to the state of Oregon. I am a member of and I participate in the Committee on Electricity's Subcommittee on Strategic Issues, which this time focused a great deal on what's wrong with the wholesale markets and what are some of the options to fix those or to address those. We had a joint meeting with the Committee on Electricity, Gas, Finance, Technology, Energy Resource, Environment, and Consumer Affairs on natural gas prices, in which the chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission was the lead-off speaker, as well as an Oklahoma commissioner who was part of the Bush administration's transition team on energy. We had a major session with stakeholders on retail market issues, include a provider of last resort, progress towards retail competition, and focusing on how well retail competition was going and how and why customers switched with a lot of emphasis on states like Texas and Pennsylvania and California and New Jersey and New York, where they have had some retail, or at least in theory, built retail competition.
Senator Representative Ringo is recognized.
Mr. Rikas, I appreciate that there are many complex subjects in the energy field that deserve attention and education. And I guess you don't need to convince me that there's a lot to be learned by going to those. So what I'm wondering is, how does that relate to benefit to the Oregon consumer, the Oregon staff?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think it goes back to a body of knowledge that you learn from, one, experiences that other states are having, and from the opportunity of this association to talk to leaders or participants in the industry. These meetings are where we learn a great deal about the issues upon which we have to make decisions. You learn a great deal about what is or is not happening in California and why, what's happening in Pennsylvania, what's happening in other states who are wrestling with the same issues we are. We learn from practitioners in the industry who are involved in the wholesale markets. It is developing a body of knowledge of which we can apply to the decisions that we have to make here in the state of Oregon. And in some cases, it's the other way around. It's imparting the state of Oregon's experiences and exercising the state of Oregon's influence in national policy, which I think has been fairly significant due to this commission.
Representative Ringo.
I would feel better about all of this if those meetings were held in places like Cleveland instead of Armenia, Brazil, and lots of far-flung places. And I guess that's a concern that I would like to talk about. When I ran for this office and campaigned, I heard a lot of people talk about the need for accountability in government. And regardless of how valuable the meetings are, it doesn't look good that public officials are going to meetings in places like this. And I'm just wondering, given your leadership and other commissioners' leadership on the board, whether of the NARUC board, whether these meetings can take place in the United States so it doesn't look that maybe the purpose is just to go on a nice trip.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ringo, I think there are confusing meetings. The National Association of Regulatory Utility Commission meetings are all in the United States. That's where the 50, the commissioners get together. The National Association has a grant from the U.S. Agency for International Development to work with, particularly in this case, to work with 15 countries from Central and Eastern Europe and Eurasia who are former Soviet Union countries, which USAID is working with them to try and privatize their economies and particularly privatize the electric sector. And in order to do that, it's a need to set up a legal and regulatory framework. Through this grant, USAID has asked assistance from U.S. commissioners to assist these countries. And these are not meetings in which these are not association meetings of the same type.
Do those benefit Oregon ratepayers?
Well, Mr. Chairman, in the big picture, I think that they do. Let's start from a point of view that the obvious that the electric industry is a globalized industry now. I mean, for example, Scottish Power, which owns Pacific Core, is an international company. Enron, which owns PGE, is an international company.
Where the headquarters of Enron is?
Houston.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Chairman, Houston.
Houston,
yes.
Texas?
Yes.
That's the international headquarters.
Mr. Chairman, that's Enron's headquarters, as far as I know. They have operations throughout the world, but their headquarters are in
Scottish Power. Their headquarters must be in Scotland.
I believe they are in Scotland. Yes.
Were the meetings held in Scotland? I hadn't noticed that.
Mr. Chairman, no, none of the meetings were held in Scotland. If I could finish, Mr. Chairman, I will try and explain the relationship of international activities to ratepayers in Oregon. What this is really all about is the sharing of experiences of similar issues. We are restructuring in the United States just as those countries in Eastern and Central Europe and Eurasia are restructuring. They are trying to privatize what used to be a central command industry. We are trying to privatize, we are trying to open up and restructure what used to be a private monopoly, but we are basically engaged in the same thing. The experiences, and this is an extension of the idea of what's behind NARUC, which has been established for a long time, is the importance of sharing experiences. In the case of the international, there are other implications. But basically, what it comes down to is that we all benefit by the sharing of experiences with each other. Now, through the U.S. Agency for International Development and a separate program, the state of Oregon became a partner with the new Brazil federal regulators. And they visited us and we visited them. Interestingly enough, Brazil has a national integrated grid that is economically dispatched, something which we do not have. There were some lessons learned there that we could gain from Brazil. They had 600 direct service customers that got service directly from power suppliers rather than through distribution utility. Again, lessons that we could learn from as we were restructuring and trying to figure out how to do direct access. They set up a public-private corporation using, I think it was 1.5% of revenues to fund a public-private corporation to do energy efficiency throughout the country. Very similar to the public purposes that we engaged in, and I think my experience there certainly gave me a little more comfort in pursuing the 3% here. I've talked to you before about some of the important regional issues that we have to deal with that kind of are in between state and federal jurisdiction. If you look at the Council of European Energy Regulators, which a number of NARUC representatives met with in December in Lisbon, there are experiences there which we can learn from. They have succeeded and have some experience in trying to bring nations together into some kind of coordinated, integrated policy. We can learn from them as we try and bring states together to try and do some regional policies.
Representative Ringo is recognized as long as we don't argue.
Well, I was just giving some examples of how the experiences in some of these countries that I get through this are relevant to directly to Oregon and our experiences.
Representative Ringo?
Well, thank you. I guess I don't mean to interrupt you, but on the other hand, I'd rather have a conversation and not be on the receiving end of a long speech. I think if I'm going to be satisfied that these are legitimate expenses, I need to have a conversation. I want to be able to ask more questions, and I want to be able to get feedback to those questions. So
fine, I'd be happy to meet with you on those if you want.
Okay. I mean, I just want to tell you what it's going to take to persuade me. It's not just going to be a long speech.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to point out that the international stuff is not paid for by.
I understand. I see that.
It's paid for by USAID usually.
I see that.
That's the package is recognized.
I guess my concern, and I'd like to get something back from the commission because it's too hard for me to read at least this, or maybe you can resort it on your spreadsheet, but my concern is, at least on my rough calculations, just for the chairman, that you were gone 80 days last year alone on travel, that's indicated here, and in light of 1149 and 622 that we're putting into effect, you know, and in light of the task force report, you know, while I appreciate the fact that we're involved in international activities and other things, I feel like we have some major regulatory things, and the industries are feeling like that the commissioners are visibly absent. I'm concerned about where the focus is, and I think it's great, and we all would like to volunteer and do some other things too, but, you know, like all of us, I'm sure that every member of this legislative body gets asked to be on various boards and everything else because of the high-profile nature of where we're at. But I'm just interested in the amount of days that each commissioner was gone in 2000 and then over the course of the year that we've got to get those calculations. Because, I mean, to be effective, I think you got to be there to some degree, and I think there is a large public perception problem, and I don't grant the merits of helping other people out or vice versa, but we still have to look at it in the light of the scrutiny that we are all under as well. And so I don't need a response back unless you want to respond.
No.
I want to look at those numbers. I think that those numbers are important, and I think that that's something that, you know, I think that we have valuable resources as commissioners there. But if you're gone 80 days out of a year, you know, some of those are BPA meetings and other things, and I understand that you have to attend. It's very difficult.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would like to respond in this sense, is that I don't hear, and I don't think the task force heard, nor did they conclude, that we aren't doing our job and that we aren't doing it well. And I think one of the reasons the commission does its job well, one of the reasons the commission's recognized, I think, for the leadership that we've exercised, both in Oregon and throughout the country on some of these issues, is that we develop a body of knowledge and experience that we can apply. And I think that is a sharing of experiences. As far as the issue of does it mean that we are gone too much to attend things, I don't think that's the case. I think that in what the case was that the commission didn't necessarily find that what we have found is that to address the issues that were raised by the task force is to generally to have different kinds of meetings than we traditionally have in the cases, and we have tried to set out trying to do that. I don't think it necessarily means that we miss things that we shouldn't. I went through and asked staff, for example, just on the NARIC meetings, because that's where all three of us go and no quorum is available during those meetings for doing business. What did we miss in terms of the sort of hearings? And I have a list here, and most of them are hearings that were done by telephone and these are contested case hearings that are done by telephone that involve termination of Oregon Telephone Assistance Program benefits or a complaint against the utility, kinds of things that commissions wouldn't necessarily hear anyway. One major issue which is on a telecommunications one from Quest, involved rate increases for some loop prices that I think fall under what the task force called as the types of technical kinds of hearings that wouldn't necessarily expect the commission to attend anyway. So I think that, and while it does create some scheduling problems, I don't think it necessarily represents an inability to get the work done or that we are missing things that we would otherwise or should necessarily expect the commission to attend. And as you pointed out, some of those are directly related to Oregon. Some are individual commissioners going. I think the way this was presented may have given, it says three commissioners, but in very few of those meetings, there are all three commissioners there. It's usually individual commissioners. I think the NARIC meetings are probably the only ones in which all three commissioners attend. The others are individual attendance.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ringel is recognized.
I'm not satisfied that our ratepayers benefit from our study of the utility structure in Zambia or Armenia or some of these other places. And I think public perception is very important. It gives fuel to the fire of Bill Sizemore to be able to trot out examples like this. And it's one of the things I am acutely aware of, and I want to do everything I can to make sure that we don't give him any more fuel. And I would like more information as to specifically how some of these trips benefit Oregon ratepayers. And I guess absent that, it'll be my goal to try to create some guidelines as to what are appropriate trips and what may not be appropriate trips. I'm not sure that's my definition, it's not your definition, but nevertheless, put some guidelines over what are what's appropriate travel. So I would like more information on some of these far-flung trips.
And I guess in that regard, then there is a question, it brings into question item number three, sir, on your transmittal list, how often are all three commissioners attending meetings, especially those out of state, with the schedule that shows for the commissioners' travel, we probably need to have that amplified if those pages do not, in fact, reflect the time when the commissioners are all free traveling, because the appearance is that, again, coming from the task force, that there needs to be some physical presence and it needs to play a more visible role in the state of Oregon. And certainly if one quick calculation that I did was that during about 20 months, 26 nearly week-long trips in some case, were all out of the area, and I don't know how many of the commissioners were attending. The other issue is also, as three commissioners travel together, I'm wondering if that doesn't give the appearance they shouldn't be accompanied by staff, so the public record could be taken if there's discussion on any kinds of issues which affect Oregon ratepayers in that process.
Mr. Chairman, there has been no evidence of that. There has been no instance of that. Commissioners going to the same meeting doesn't necessarily mean they're spending any time together at those meetings. We are in different committees. We are in different meetings when we go to those. As the task force said, it hasn't found any evidence or any examples where there's any improper conduct on the part of the commission or the staff.
Okay. Did they see these lists of the travel on? They reviewed those with you?
I don't believe they did, but okay. I'm not sure that's relevant to that conclusion.
Okay. All right. Then the amount of time that is actually taken away by staff, I wondered if perhaps there was any additional travel. Many of these places appear to be maybe would have some potential destination resort type places. Do they take vacation in conjunction at the beginning or end of any of these trips?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know about other staff, whether they do or they do not.
Wouldn't that be something that you typically know as the chair of the commission, as to what happens amongst your...
I don't necessarily know when each individual staff member takes vacation, no.
Do you know who gets benefit of any frequent mile travel? Does that come back to the commission when you get frequent flyer?
No, it does not. There's no way. The state has never set up a way for us to really do that. It goes to the benefit of the individual. I know I personally have used mileage. Last trip I took to San Diego for the NARUC meeting was done through mileage.
So you can use that for business or for pleasure?
You are not supposed to use mileage accrued through the state for personal gain.
Okay.
But the state has, we have set up a way to track the miles, but the miles go to the individual. The state has no way of accruing the miles for itself. I have used I've used miles that I've accrued to travel for the state.
Exclusively?
No, not exclusively, because my mileage that I accrue on my mileage plan is not exclusively accrued through state travel. But I have used my mileage for state travel.
Okay. There's a number of issues that we've come up with that have questions that still lag out there. Issues dealing with the ALJ's dues, the other types of travel, maybe a more breakdown. Then relative to the dues that are paid, not just the cost of the travel, but also the actual fees for the conferences that are involved here in addition to the travel, maybe we should have a better idea of how that is calculated so that we'll know, because I think, as Representative Ringo has indicated, there is some concern about just exactly how much the actual amount of traveling and meetings that the members of the commission and the staff are attending do actually benefit consumers and ratepayers in Oregon. And by all appearances, there's something in excess represented here in dues and travel of paid out of the state coffers, which is ultimately paid out of utility ratepayers' checkbooks, taxpayers, and the Widow's Mite, something in excess of $300,000 over the past 20 months. So I would like to have just a little further breakdown before we continue on with any further discussions relative to House Bill 5036. And I would encourage Commissioner Dekus and other members of the commission to schedule appointments with individual members of this subcommittee as they see appropriate so that we might find sufficient support to be able to pass some sort of a budget out of here. Because right now, Chair Dekus, I don't see that we've got enough votes, high votes, to be able to pass your budget out in this present form.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, he is recognized.
Just a point of clarification. When it says three commissioners attending meetings, but you only listed one name under the name column, so do you need to add two more names just to make sure it says three commissioners?
I think Ms. Gates is going to give us some further information on that. I think there was some misunderstanding as to whether those represented all three commissioners or whether that was just a NARUC series of meetings that they were all attending or whether they attended some of all of the various meetings indicating all three, the ones to Brasilia and Quebec and Washington, D.C., Santa Fe, Los Angeles?
Yes.
Those are all three?
Mr. Chairman, this is a committee. What this table is just, we will revise it so that it shows only cases where all three are at the same destination.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What this currently shows is times when more than one is out of town at the same time. So, in effect, you wouldn't have a quorum.
That's true.
Mr. Chairman, when I ask my question, the point is if one goes to a meeting, they can come back with a report telling the other commissioners what they learned rather than all three go to the same meeting. So I would appreciate clarification.
I'll provide that information for you so that it answers that question.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, I would just add that in many cases, though, you'll find that these are meetings where there are concurrent sessions.
Breakout concurrent
and
sessions.
And it is not unusual for agencies to have more than one staff go so that most of the concurrent sessions can be attended.
I appreciate and understand that.
And, Mr. Chair, I have one more thing to distribute for you based on a conversation we had yesterday. You had asked for some information on travel policy. So I've got from the Oregon Accounting Manual the state's travel policy, which I'm told by the PUC is what they follow. So I just want to distribute that.
Thank you very much.
For members.
Are there any other further questions at this time? We'll reschedule when we've had it, when Chair Dekus, you've had an opportunity to to meet with commission members or members of the subcommittee. And as soon as we have some information for you, Sarah, I'd appreciate it also, Sarah, if you could maybe route that copy straight through one copy of your directives or findings straight through to my office here in the Capitol as opposed to QLFO. Our internal mail system took just a little bit longer this time than what it was a full week in between the time of transmitted it and received it. Not quite a full week. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and close this.
Chairman, because your vacation.